This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, inviting you to stay tuned, hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr. The title of the message is The Assyrian. Oh, my friend, all of these messages lately along that line, and I believe this will be a gracious message to you if you'd like to hear these good sound teaching about those things that's taking place now. And it's number 381, and I'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
We showed you a world under judgment, with the time running out for a sinful race who have come to the place that there is no remedy, because they have refused to hear the warning of His messengers, according to Jeremiah 25:1-9 and 2 Chronicles 36. Jeremiah the prophet to Judah, 22 years before the first deportation to Babylon, warned them of serving and worshiping other gods, Jeremiah 25:6, which is an abomination to the Lord and is always accompanied with the wickedness of the flesh and the violence of greed and covetousness. 2 Chronicles 36 says, He humbles not Himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. When God's means of correcting man and turning him back to the way of righteousness is exhausted, then there is only one thing left, and that is judgment. Let's turn to Leviticus 26:1, which gives the law of God and the conditions of blessing in the promised land. Listen, you shall make you no idols, nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. He goes on to tell of the blessings, peace, prosperity, and victory of an obedient people. Also he says, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. Then he names 5 chastisements he will bring upon a disobedient people. Read that, will you? Each one 7 times greater than the one before, if they would not heed his word and be corrected for their sins. And the last one ending with the final worldwide dispersion of the nation Israel among the Gentiles, are the nations of the world. Now, all these judgments or chastisements would be brought upon them for idolatry, and the sins idolatry brings with it. Our subject today, as we said, is the Assyrian, or the Antichrist, or the rod of God's anger. God does get angry at sin. God is angry at sin. God's angry at sin now. And only as you will repent will He forgive you. Listen, Isaiah 10:5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in thy hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take a spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meeteth not so, that is, to be God's corrective rod, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. Then in verse 10, the Assyrian continues, listen, as my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Ever since the 70 years captivity in Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, the Jews have been under Gentile rulership and will be until the end of the tribulation period when the Lord Jesus Christ shall break forth from the clouds with his armies and riding a white stallion as Israel's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Read the 19th chapter of Revelation. So Gentile world power today was designed to chastise the Israelites for going after other gods and despising God's statutes and abhorring his judgments, refusing to do all his commandments, Leviticus 26:14-15. Yet he meaneth not so. He refuses to acknowledge that God has chosen him to be a rod of correction. In the mind of the Assyrian, the final leader of Gentile world power, who is the Antichrist, his purpose is to bring to pass the fruit of his stout heart and the glory of his high looks. Listen to Isaiah 10:13. For he said, by the strength of my hand. Now, listen how many eyes he's using here. There's seven eyes in this verse. For he said, by the strength of my hand, I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed thy treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man, and my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, nor opened the mouth, or peeped. Now in that verse, the Antichrist of the Assyrian has used seven eyes. I will, I will, I will. God goes on to say, shall the axe boast against itself, against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lifted it up? Or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood? Therefore he will bring down the Assyrian to judgment. It is time. Verse 20 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, that is the day of the Lord, or the final destruction of all Gentile world power, that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped to the house of Jacob shall no more stay upon him that smote them, the Assyrian, but shall stay upon the Lord and the Holy One of Israel in truth. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough, talking about the Assyrian, with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewed down, and the haughty shall be humble. God knows how to bring them down. Before we examine the scripture, let's see why God uses the Assyrian to chastise Israel. Let's notice that the Antichrist, who will be the political despot of the last form of Gentile world power, will be an Assyrian, Daniel 11:40, and he will be the ruler of an empire that is not only Roman, but a combination of all the Gentile world dominions. The very image of Daniel in Daniel 2, chapter 2, is the image of the man. Nebuchadnezzar. And when the image is destroyed with a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, listen to verse 45. It shall break in pieces the iron, which is Rome, the brass, which is Greece, and clay, democratic Rome, and silver, Medo-Persia, and the gold, Babylonia, which includes Assyria. Then chapter 7 of Daniel gives us the four empires under the figure of animals. The first a lion, the second a bear, the third a leopard, and the fourth diverse beast with iron teeth and dreadful and terrible, and it had 10 horns. Then in Revelation 13:1-2, we find that this beast, the Antichrist, represented by the fourth animal, has all the features of the other three powers: body of a leopard, feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. So the Antichrist will be the ruler over a political kingdom that has all the distinguishing characteristics of all the Gentile world dominions. Therefore, all the prophecies that refer to Babylon have both a near and far application, the ultimate application being to the final Gentile age of the Antichrist. We're approaching that right now. In our last study, I called your attention to Joshua's last charge in Joshua 24, warning the Israelites, whom he has led into the promised land, not to revive the worship of the gods that came down from the other side of the flood, which were the giants or heroes of old, or the offspring of the sons of the Elohim and the daughters of men. They did great and wicked exploits and were deified by the generation that perished in the flood, but were revived after the flood by Nimrod, the grandson of Ham. If you study the mythologies of the nations, you'll find that they will date back to Nimrod, the great rebel. When the children of Israel went down to Egypt, they found the Babylonian idolatries and paganism there. And in their 430 years sojourn, intermarried with Egyptians, and idolatry in part was introduced into Israel. Joshua says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord God or Jehovah God. Now I want to call your attention to a startling scripture found in Jeremiah 7:16. Listen. Therefore, Jeremiah, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. You know, it's awful when God is silent. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? Listen now. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead thy dough, and make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Further on he says, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name. Then in Jeremiah 44:2, Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord to Israel in the land of Egypt, where he had been carried captive in defiance of his warning from the Lord. Ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger. In that they went to burn incense, and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, yea, nor your fathers, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from wickedness, to burn incense, unto other gods. Wherefore, my fury and mine anger was poured forth. After Jeremiah's sermon, notice how those who fled Egypt for refuge from Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon flew back into God's face. Listen, you ever see a sinner fly back in God's face? Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the women that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathos, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth out of our own mouth. Isn't that about what we face today? To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in this city of Judah, and the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and poured out drink offerings unto her without our men? What defiance of God's messengers! But Jeremiah tells them that the incense they offered, God remembered them, and it came into his mind so that he could no longer bear with them. My friend, you may think that quitting your sins, changing somewhat, ought to earn you God's favor. But sin does not die with old age, even if it does have gray whiskers or reformation. Only the blood of Christ, the Son of God, can take it away. Only the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus Christ can cleanse men from sin. You can't bribe God to bless you by trying to quit sins for a while. You will always go back to them if you think God doesn't give you all you want in the way of material blessings. That's impenitence, like a dog returning to its vomit again. 2 Peter 2:22. So they went back to their abominations, and God accepted their decision. Listen to it. Sinner, you may turn God down one time too many, and he may accept your decision as a final decision. Listen here. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Listen, listen. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. They went back to the idolaters of Egypt, which had come out of Babylon, and God prophesied he would send Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, into captivity to Babylon, and they would therefore not escape Babylonian captivity. It reminds me of the scripture that says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Psalm 139:7-12. God's judgment is sure. You can't get away from his almighty hand. Now who is this Queen of Heaven that these Jews, especially the women, were so taken up with in worship? with and which provoke God with jealousy of strange gods. If you'll turn to Ezekiel 8:14, you'll read these startling words. They brought me to the door, the gate of the house, the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was the Assyrian name for the Greek god Adonis, whose name means Lord. Tammuz was a beautiful, fair child of the wife of Nimrod, who in mythologies of all ancient countries was called the father of the gods. Nimrod, who in Egypt was known as the black god Osiris, had died, and his wife deified him in order to maintain her position in Babylon as a goddess. And she initiated the Babylonian mysteries. Now you listen. She initiated the Babylonian mysteries, teaching that Nimrod had returned in pharaoh form by transmigration in his son. The mysteries embraced all the magical arts, spiritism or spiritualism, and what we know today as seances, astrological worship, listen, of the seven stars and the 12 signs of the zodiac, and sham miracles, signs, and wonders, which is nothing less than demonism. Isaiah 8:19. The devotion of the Babylonians for the mother of the gods, or the queen mother of the Son of God, the promised seed, was remarkable. She was called the hope of the whole world. The figure of the seed bruising the serpent's head was transferred to the woman. And in the Tower of Babel, there stood an image of a woman grasping the serpent's head, along with two other images representing the Trinity. After her death, and her history began to become obscure, her son's birth was boldly declared to be miraculous. She is the first woman who is given the honor of the mother of the promised seed. In Egypt, she was called the habitation of God, to show that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in her. And the figure of the Virgin Mother emerged and became widespread. In Egypt, an inscription was engraved on one of her temples: I am all that has been, or that is, or that should be. In Babylon, she was called the dwelling place of God, and in India, the tabernacle, or temple. All power, all grace, and goodness, and every quality of gentleness and mercy was believed to be centered in her. And tradition says she was changed into a pigeon to express the nature of celestial glory. She was called the dove in Rome, or Juno, and she was worshipped both there and in Babylon in the form of a dove. This is the representation of the incarnation of the Holy Spirit, who is to come upon Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. This did make Mary the Holy Spirit, but this is what was represented in the Queen of Heaven of the Babylonian or Assyrian idolatrous trinity. The worship of the Queen of Heaven, endowed with all the winning attributes that she was by her worshippers, ensured her slaves of salvation, while they were free to give rein to every unholy passion and depraved appetite. No wonder she became an object of almost universal worship by those who want their will on will and refuse all restraint of the passions and desires of their depraved will. And there's a revival of that worship now, worldwide. It makes me tremble as I see we're coming to the end. We have here a perfect picture of the wine of the wrath of her fornication in Revelation 17. I wish you'd read that carefully. God said to Israel, all right, you run after other gods, you shall have other gods. He could say that to Christendom. You run after other gods, you'll have other gods. You shall pay your vows to the gods. This means they and you, sinner, who refuse Christ. Listen, this means that they and you, sinner, who refuse Christ, you put the wine cup to your lips and drink of the wine of the fury of God, which God sent Jeremiah to Jerusalem, first and all the nations to drink. Our nation today is verbally a Babylon, which means confusion. In our next study, we want to look at Babylon, over which the Assyrian will rule in the tribulation period. And it wouldn't surprise me that the United States will not be the Babylon in the day of the Antichrist. The time of Jacob's trouble, when God chastens Israel and brings again the remnant into the promised land and appears as the Son of David, her glorious King, Savior, and Deliverer. Do you know that Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the title of the message was The Assyrian. Doesn't that whet your appetite, my friend? The Assyrian. Many of you folks have been hearing Pastor Shelton for years now. Maybe some of you have not. Pastor Shelton was very, very gracious Bible scholar, Bible teacher, pastor, preacher, and had much intellect about the things that's taking place now, even though he's been gone many years. And I listen now and I hear him talking about things that's going to take place, and they're taking place right now. Speaking about perilous times coming. If we're not living in perilous times now, I don't know what it is. And it's not talking about the stock market and the oil price and all of those things, no. We're talking about the perilous times in the religious world, all of those things. But the message that you heard today was The Assyrian. And it's number 381 in this series. And we'd be glad to send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid. And also it's on CD. And then remember, pray for the old trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis. As we hear, old trailblazer getting kind of weary and been here a long, long time. But you pray for me that the Lord give me grace and strength and just keep me going. Where I get up every morning wanting to come here and bring these messages, and you pray for me as I pray for you. Help us with the broadcast just a little if you possibly can. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.